Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
What do we think the current temperature is outside, Sue? Have you been keeping track of that? It's like single digits, isn't it?
Well, now it's 19.
Oh.
It's really rocketed up in the sunshine.
So you're not in the studio this week. You're doing this from home. But in the studio, Fred, what is it, 25? Maybe
it's
26?
23.
It's 23. Fred, how many jackets you got on?
He's pretty bundled up right now. We all are. Look, Jake's wearing his stocking cap. Hannah was wearing her stocking cap earlier. I brought one too. I'm almost wearing it in the studio. But yeah, it's a little chilly out here in St. Louis. Not only in the studio, obviously other people. I'm not going to make it seem so rough here in the studio because I am empathetic. And this happens, I can't believe people have to work in this stuff in the summer,
right?
In the winter.
Crazy.
Even for we started this afternoon with the funeral, talking about Benjamin Paulson and the great turnout that they had today for that. And everyone, standing in the cold and suffering in the cold for that, for sure.
It feels like it's 8 out, by the way, according to weather.com.
Mark, does Jake know that he's got to remind you to start your car?
Yeah, Jake, I don't know if you're familiar with that particular producerial duty here. Right around 5:50, say, hey, Mark, start your car. It would really be appreciated because then I do it from my app. Right? I'm not going to make you go out and start the car.
If I can remember to start my car, I will be sure to remind you to start yours.
Please do, because
you got it, man.
It's actually a nice thing. I get made fun of, but I like a warm ass when I get in my car. I'm just saying that's part of the
I'm with you.
It's part of
I
the
like
goal.
The whole body being warm, but whatever you're into.
Yeah, that seems specific, didn't
so
it, Jake?
So I have to ask this question. This was a tweet that went viral today, and 154,000 people have pressed like, 25,000, including me, have retweeted. It's from a woman named Nina Strominger, and she is a professor at the Wharton School of Business. That is like
Ooh.
One of the most prestigious.
Yes.
Notice how I said prestigious and not prestigious?
Uh-huh,
prestigious schools, business schools. These are future business leaders of America, right?
Yeah.
CEOs.
Oh, yeah.
So she tweets this out. Fred, have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
I asked Wharton students what they thought the average American worker makes per year. Now, I'm going to stop right there. What does, Jake, I'm going to start with you because you're closer to the age group here of Wharton students. The average American worker. What do they make per year? What figure would you come up with?
Oh, if I just had to guess?
Yeah, like you think about the average. You remember math class, so you got to take all the lows and all the highs and put them together, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just toss me out a number.
I don't know. Let's say like $40,000.
Okay, all right.
That's not bad.
Fred?
I'd say 35.
All right, Sue?
Shoot, I liked 40. I'm going to say 45.
Oh, my God. Sue is, how to play the game.
Oh,
see, this is from The Price is Wrong. You nailed it. All you had to do is say $40,001, and you would have won.
True, but
very
I'm
good, Jake.
Not good at that
I think
game.
Jake was right. Look, the number is $45,000, but that's not what's amazing about this story, okay? Let me reread the tweet and the complete tweet. I asked Wharton students what they thought the average American worker makes per year, and 25% of them thought it was over six figures.
Are you kidding me?
One of them thought it was $800,000.
Okay.
She says, really not sure what to make of this. The real number is $45,000. And Nina Strominger realizes that this thing is taking off, whoever retweeted it first, to get it going. And she says, her next tweet is, oh, good, I went viral. And then she follows up because she sees that a lot of people are responding saying, what are these bunch of idiots at Wharton Business School?
Seriously.
Yeah, right. Well, she says a lot of people want to conclude that this says something special about Wharton students. I'm not sure it does. People are notoriously bad at making this kind of estimate, thinking the gap between the rich and poor is smaller than it is. Well,
okay,
come
but
on. Come on.
Give me a break.
I think it's a lot of like more privileged students that have no concept.
Well, yeah, well that's probably more accurate for
yeah,
sure.
It is right. Not inexpensive to attend Wharton, I'm sure. But geez, come on,
but
common sense.
Here's what I will tell you from a parental, Fred, maybe you can relate with this, although your kids are maybe smarter than mine. These kids, it's just amazing to me. Now, when I was 19 years old, I moved out in my apartment. I never came back home. We didn't have cell phones to text our parents. I'm not telling you that I didn't do stupid things. I'm not telling you that I wasn't naive and I wasn't ignorant in many areas. But I am stunned. I'll give you a couple of examples. I called my sister today. My niece is getting married soon, a few weeks in Chicago, right? And her son, my nephew Patrick, is in Minneapolis, and he's actually going to get married in a couple years too. He's 25 years old, and he's got a great job. He's actually a business. He graduated from Creighton, so smart kid. He's a Cubs fan. That's the one downside. But my sister tells me today that. And he's been invited as an adult to the wedding with his fiance as a guest. He's like, hey, when's the wedding again? It's in 3 weeks, and he hasn't booked his airfare or anything. I'm like, you at a certain point, you have to say, okay. And I have a great story about my own son that I'm going to hold off on here. I'll save that one because my day started with stupidity down in Houston from number one son.
Oh, no.
Again. Here, I'll give you a hint, Sue. He wrecked his car again.
No,
Didn't you and I just have a conversation a couple weeks ago about this,
yes.
It feels like?
Yes. Okay. I'm not saying anything more right now.
Okay. It's not the snow down there. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm telling you. All right. Now,
a
couple more stories here before we get to Sue's news, because I thought this was interesting. And this is kind of scary. Now, I've done a little television reporting. I've done my share of live shots in the day. I've never had this happen, and I don't think many have. This is a reporter in West Virginia, WSAZ, Tori Yorgi. And she's starting to report from the field. You hear the anchors sort of lead into her here.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on
okay.
TV, Tori.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got
So that's the person who hit her. You can hear her in the background.
Yeah.
I love the anchors. Like, well, that's never happened before there, Tori.
Hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is,
Jeez.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you
are so sweet, and you are okay.
I am so
sorry. It is all good. You know, oh, Lord.
So you.
You know,
that's
it's
crazy.
My last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you.
Yeah, so she's actually on to Pittsburgh after this week. So
seriously?
If you have any friends in Pittsburgh, tell them to be careful out there driving. Poor Tori was almost run over. I mean, how about that reaction? You guys know me pretty well. I would have probably had the exact same reaction if someone hit me by a car, don't you think, Fred?
Oh,
I mean, it's okay.
Man, a lot of laughter, no cursing.
Thank you, Sue.
Sue just spit soda out of her nose, even though she didn't. So I would have said, ma'am, you're so sweet. Ma'am, you're so sweet. Are you okay?
Yes, that's what you would have said.
No, I would have been like my buddy Gary Poole, who got rear-ended by Smokey Robinson and came back to Smokey
right.
And said, what the hell is going on? And then he realized it was Smokey Robinson. But how about that? And then
it would have been one solid bleep.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But God bless her. She's okay. And then the other thing, and I put this on Twitter, and I can't find anything more about it, which always makes me a little nervous just because I think this is real. There is video out there of a guy, and the guy who tweeted it out says, dude saving a deer stuck on a frozen lake deserves endless retweets. And he's certainly getting it. There is a man that is pushing a doe who is basically on the ice, down on her belly, you know, so not on the legs, on four legs. I don't know if the deer is injured, but he's taking this deer. Jake, have you seen this?
No, I
haven't. Okay, just look at it. You'll see it right there. He's taking this deer.
That's so cute.
And he's pushing it across the ice like it's.
That just made my entire day.
I know, right? It's about the coolest thing that you'll see, and I guess it's real. I Googled it, and you do have stories and accounts, even from he pushes it up on the ice, the deer tries to get its footing. And you can probably hear the audio in the background. Finally gets to the bank and then takes off. Doesn't even say thank you. Deer doesn't even say thank you. But it's awesome video. And the guy's just laughing. But the deer had to do it because if the deer stands up, it's just slipping around on the ice.
It's like that scene from Bambi.
Yes, it recognized that it had. So anyway, that will make you feel in a sea of depression that sometimes happens out there. That's a great video.
I think there's a site that Facebook has that I get all the time. Different pictures of people saving animals.
Yeah,
and I get
nice.
Hooked on them.
Yeah.
And I watch them all. It's amazing.
I do too, Fred.
I do like cute animal videos. You know that. I have a soft spot for the cute animal videos, as long as they're not tic tics. I call them tic tics now. Look at you. Should have seen Jake look at me right there.
I was just making sure I heard you right.
No, somebody called
him.
I did it yesterday.
I can't read.
I'm never going back. I'm always calling it tic tics again. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah. It's my claim to fame. It's great.
I hit the wrong open. That's the one.
By the way,
let's try this one. Wait, let fade. Blah, blah, blah. Let's do this again. Oh, hey, 416, Brian Kilmeade's coming up.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, the University of Michigan has agreed to pay $490 million to settle claims from over 1,000 students and former athletes, over 1,000, who say they were sexually assaulted by former sports director Robert Anderson. Now, $460 million of that will go to individuals, and then they're going to take $30 million and set it aside in case there are future lawsuits.
How many people?
Over 1,000, Fred. I think the exact number was 1,050. At one point, an investigation revealed there were abuse allegations as far back as, are you ready for it, 1978.
Okay. But here's a legitimate question. And our friend Jod Ziegler, as you might expect, out in LA, and he's the guy that does the podcast on the Penn State scandal and Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky. He has been critical of this simply because you're just handing out money to a bunch of people and you don't really know what happened. But I guess that's what happens in these suits.
I think so. I think it sounds like, I don't know if it's class action, but that's what it was.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think even John's saying that some people were not abused and don't deserve some sort of compensation, but this is painting with such a broad brush. How does it make a difference?
Well, the lawyers can work all that out. And if this is what they came up with and the university agreed, it must have been, they must have been concerned at the very least, right? It could have been more. Anderson worked at UM from 1968 to 2003. Now, if people were complaining as far back as 1978, by the way, he passed away in 2008. And in a USA Today story today, it said that his sexual assaults were so well known among athletes, he was known as, quote, Dr. Drop Your Drawers.
Uh-huh. And how is that even possible that could happen,
right? Well, I mean, just look at the Olympics and the girls and the gymnasts. That's how that happens. Yep. But guys, too, I mean, it's everything. By the way, the NCAA, and you guys may have talked about this, Fred was going to look into it, has decided to allow each sport's national governing body to determine eligibility requirements for transgender athletes. Now, this goes into effect today, immediately. Now, the old policy from 2010 applied to all sports and was based on hormone therapy requirements, but now swimming can come up with its own. Basketball could come up with its own, each individual sport.
But okay, here's in we've got great Caitlyn Jenner audio here if you'd like to hear somebody.
Love it.
Fred Bottomer, though, came up with the best line of the day. Do you want me to use it or do you want to share it?
Go ahead.
Oh,
because
come on.
I was working at home earlier and I said to Fred, we were trying to analyze what happened with the NCAA and I said they passed the buck. And his response was the buck, the dough, they. Which was pretty good.
That's pretty good,
Fred. But here's Caitlyn Jenner.
There's only, a small amount of transgender athletes that are out there. Why do we want to ruin sports for just a couple of people?
Now, keep in mind, we say that we're out, right? We're turfs.
Disappointed. Basically, the NCAA just kicked the can down the road.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate. I am out there to protect women's sports. I mean, we had this issue in Connecticut with some high school athletes, transgender athletes, that were just cleaning the clock of all the girls.
And she even went into, Fred, did you pull the golf?
Yeah.
Is this the one where... It's
where he's still stronger than
she
women.
She says that, look...
Good!
I'm actually considering, just because my golf game, I'm trying to get it back, I'm considering transitioning in an effort to hit from the ladies' tees because I think that might help my game. So Caitlyn Jenner sort of jokes about that a little bit, actually.
My body structure, the length of my arms, the size of my feet, the size of my hands. In Leah Thomas's case, I don't care about her testosterone levels now for the last year or two. Honestly, I care about her testosterone levels for the first 16, 17 years of her life.
Right.
Exactly. That's what we're fighting against here. Mm-hmm. I obviously have been through all of this. I have no more testosterone going through my body. I just live on estrogen, okay? And I can still hit the golf ball a long way. I got asked to play in the women's tournament at my club. And honestly, I declined because I didn't think it was fair. I can outdrive all the girls by 100 yards. I can reach every par 5 and 2. It's just not fair. So I would never play in a tournament with the women.
So she's being honest. She's being honest and fair. Bud has given me a great idea on how to play golf a little bit better and how to improve my foursomes at charity events. So I appreciate that, Caitlin. Thank you.
Isn't that – that's the whole thing.
It is.
This whole thing can single-handedly wipe out women's sports. It really can.
That is her entire point. That is Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
That's what she's concerned about. And, I mean,
come up with a transgender league then.
Why
is
she the only one? I think there's a struggle. She was asked that question. Well, do you just then bar transgender people from sports?
No.
There needs to be, they need to study this more. There are different protocols. I don't know what the answer is, and I don't think Caitlyn Jenner or even the folks who interviewed her today on Fox know, but we do know this is unfair to female athletes.
Who have spent years, decades trying to build up sports for themselves. How much time do we have? You want one more?
Yeah, one more here.
Okay. A Florida woman was out for a night walk and with her dog, and she was attacked.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
She was attacked by a crocodile.
An alligator.
You would think, Jake. Oh. You would think.
Shoot, no.
It was a black bear.
In Florida?
Yes. Police say she was out strolling, la 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 la, minding her own business, when the bear jumped on her, threw her to the ground while she screamed for help. Now, she survived. She had a concussion and some non-life-threatening injuries. And apparently the bear was there with it was a mama bear and had some cubs nearby. And that's what caused the whole, just thought that woman was getting too close to her cubs.
Have you ever
Florida.
Have you ever hiked or anything like that where there are bear and they have the signs up that tell you what
to
do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, scary.
And they say, don't run from them. Put your arms up and try to appear. Oh, hell no. I'm not doing that. I'm probably going to get eaten. But how do you tell yourself to do that in the moment?
I don't know. I mean, wasn't it a baseball player? Remember that? Who was it that last year who got?
Yeah, we had the interview from the Cardinals player who was up in the deer stand and the bear surprised
him.
Took a little chunk
him.
Out of his back, as I remember.
Yikes. Florida, yikes.
Yeah, there is a Florida black bear. It's a subspecies of the American black bear in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't either. How about that?
And today's random fact, sign language has tongue twisters. Well, of course, they're not tongue twisters in sign language. They are called finger fumblers. And many who have practiced sign language over the years still fumble over certain sequences in ASL. Good blood, bad blood, apparently, is difficult to do in American Sign Language. Go figure. And that's today's random fact.
Thank you, Sue Thomas. 424, Brian Kilmeade still to come here this afternoon. In the next hour, we have State Rep. Mary Elizabeth Coleman, an update on what's happening in Jeff City. Oh, the other thing still this afternoon, Brian Pink from L.A., this terrible story about the UCLA grad student who was murdered by a homeless man who has had a long rap sheet. Brian's coming up from KNX in Los Angeles still later this hour. Kilmeade's up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Brian Kilmeade with us this afternoon, and I have to start with this, although there's a lot we could start with.
I will repeat myself, and I'm Vice President of the United States.
Well, to the point, though, because so those bills were clear, debated. And it's, but it's, yeah, the bills were debated, and they didn't pass.
If I may finish.
Brian, what do you, the whole I'm Vice President of the United States line, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because, you know, I'm doing a show at the same time, and we heard she was being interviewed on another channel, and they said if she makes news, we'll use it, but we didn't use it. But on radio, they were all ready to go with it, and it was the first time I heard it. A couple of things. Savannah Guthrie's getting crap where she'd be saluted when she was cutting off Trump, but she cuts off Kamala Harris, who was not answering the question, and she gets blowback. If she's trending on Twitter for, and she got an answer, and by the way, she has no answer. And I am Vice President. I'm number two. I was in the chamber. It is just a woman that just feels like she just left the bubble, and she just has no idea how to do interviews, contentious, agreeable, show leadership, compassion. She's so programmed, she has lost all sensibility.
Yeah, and it's, by the way, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Now, what do you make of this? Because this was very weird to me as well, and I don't believe it for a second.
I've met with prime ministers and presidents from around the globe, both partners and allies of ours. They are asking, what is going on with voting rights in America?
Yeah, that's what they're asking about, Brian. They're asking about voting rights in America. We're on these big calls with foreign leaders. Are you kidding me? They're asking about minor incursions. That's what they're asking about right now.
Right. Yeah, they're really concerned about the Georgia, what they're doing now, having drop boxes for every 100,000 people. And the Georgia, it is now allowing more early voting access and no excuse balloting. They're just saying, can you please put your Social Security, four-digit Social Security number on the application? And you got to just do it a little bit ahead of time, because last time it was chaotic. And that was part of the reason why every election lately is delayed, because they've been so amenable to everybody. It makes it possible on the people making minimum wage to count these ballots. And there's so much at stake. And listen, I mean, there's so much to focus on. Like you said, she has a great opportunity, and she's just not capable, I don't believe, of handling it.
So if I'm in the writer's room at Saturday Night Live, my job is done if it's a fair media world. And we know it's not, because you're telling me that should be the opening segment. There's so much to mock. It's kind of sad what happened yesterday, some of it. But they won't even touch this, will they? I don't think they will. We'll see. Because Kamala, that line from her, that's ripe for parody. It almost sounds like a caricature of herself.
You know, that they have that woman come from her past casts who plays her, and they just say, excuse me, I'm talking, and they cheer. They don't want to make her look vulnerable, inadequate, and not up for the job. And I'll give you an example, Mark. Last SNL, they did a cold open. They've been off for about a month, you know, between the pandemic, the Omicron. And the cold open was Joe Biden and something with Spider-Man. Like, what are you talking about? Joe Biden is sitting there turning away from a bunch of screaming people asking questions. He can't even handle the prompter. Every word looks like he's never seen it before. And their way of attacking him is saying, I blame it on Spider-Man, or stop seeing Spider-Man. I go, that is the tamest cold open you've ever seen. They would just kill Trump. There would be no comedy. It would just be an attack. Like, Stephen Colbert is not funny. All he does is just get the anti-Trump fans in there and bring up Elizabeth Warren for a half hour. Can you imagine that? Steve Allen or Johnny Carson doing that?
No. Look, I can laugh at Republicans. I think you can, too. There's things that Republicans should be mocked over. I'm fine with that. But this is just perfect. I mean, if I'm a comedy person,
I know.
It's a gift. It's a gift from the comedy gods.
Well, watch Gutfeld, because he will be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no question he will be doing that. And that's why his ratings. Remember what Bill Maher said, Mark? Bill Maher said, you know, and I listened to his monologues. I never used to watch the show. I know it matters. I know he's smart. I know he has mixed panels. But, I don't really know when it's on HBO. I'm always checking out HBO. But I've been watching his monologues on social media, and it almost looks like Tucker Carlson wrote them.
I know. Isn't it great? You know, I've had issues with Bill over the past, but I have respect because he's always been on the right side when it comes to the Islamic terrorism issue. And at least he's being honest about what's going on. And I was hoping that more and more people would maybe take that route, but we're really not seeing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, when he said, so they said, you know, listen, for the longest time, I used to get this question. He goes, why aren't there any conservative talk shows? Like, why don't they have a conservative comedian out there? And he goes, well, for the longest time, I used to think, because Democrats are not really somebody you poke fun at. You know, that we don't do a lot of crazy things that you try to mock until lately. Now, he goes, I see it nonstop. The comedy is so prevalent, it's pathetic. And he said, and then he got this Gutsell guy. He said, so I watched. Why is this guy getting ratings? And it's good. He's funny. And the stuff he says is funny and is mockable. And I go, wow, I'm astounded.
I can't remember if we talked about this last week, but there was a great story that was up on Substack that was written, I think one of them was a former reporter at The Hollywood Reporter, and it recounts a pitch back in October where somebody said to the editors at The Hollywood Reporter, and there was horrifying response from the young editors in the room, say, look, we should do a story because we have people that are getting shut out of this industry right now, really good comedy writers, but they're white and they're male and they might be straight. It was a great piece because my concern moving forward, and I think Bill Maher has concern about this. We know Chappelle does. You can watch TV from the past, and this happens all the time. I say, well, they won't do that anymore. And it's sad what's happening to creativity.
Someone told me, and I think it's pretty much, this is not breaking news, that they would never cast Friends again.
Right.
You know, five white self-obsessed people in the single people, white people living in the city dating each other. That just would never pass. You wouldn't get the pitch because it's not politically correct. And I think it was Denzel Washington that wrote, can I just have the best producer, please? Yeah. Can I have the best scriptwriter, please? We're out there hiring only minorities, people of color, and everything's on its head. And you know what? They're getting what they deserve. They started all this. Cancel culture, being politically correct, look out for the environment, how dare you not have solar panels, how dare you use fossil fuels, why don't you buy a Prius, how dare you not get a Tesla until they found out that who Elon Musk was and what he believes. But, you know, and now it's all boomeranging on them.
I played the audio a little bit earlier. I don't know if you were working at the time or saw Caitlyn Jenner on this afternoon, but this NCAA ruling where they passed the buck, obviously. But Caitlyn Jenner is absolutely, thankfully, she's got the guts to say what's right on this issue.
Yeah, and in case you don't know, there's this couple of transgenders, but one in particular, Leah Thompson, I think. I forgot her last
Leah
name.
Thomas,
and she, Thomas. And she's swimming for the University of Pennsylvania, beating everybody. She was a very good swimmer anyway, and crushing it. And there was a report in the Washington Examiner. They did some interviews. Evidently, she's arrogant about it. And she's getting a kick out of all the attention. And she feels like she's some type of hero as she crushes everybody's dreams. And if you have a girl at any age or a woman that you support and you want to see them have the same opportunities that men have, why would you possibly support this? You know, you're going through those transitions. That's fine. But one of the things is you can't compete with the women.
Right.
You can't.
Well, you know, somebody...
And he believes it. He went through it. He was an Olympic champion as a guy. He's now a woman. He goes, there's no way. Look at my body. You know, he probably won a gold medal now.
Well, I just played the bite a little earlier this afternoon. He was talking about playing golf. He says, I get invited to do play from the women's tees, and he refuses to do it. Or she, sorry, I'm misgendering her. But she refuses to do it because it's unfair. Now, this has given me a good idea to improve my golf game, and I'm going to follow up on that, and I'll keep you posted. But it's utterly ridiculous. Well, at least you laughed.
But they want to cancel her because Caitlyn Jenner got Sportsman of the Year, even though I think there was like 25 better stories, but the Olympic champion on the Wheaties box became a woman, and that was the number one story. And then she sits down and talks to Diane Sawyer and talks about the transition, and the only thing that shocked Diane Sawyer is when she says, I'm a Republican. She's like, you are? You're a Republican? And since that moment when he ran against Gavin Newsom, now it's no longer cool to accept Caitlyn Jenner.
No, because is Fox the only one inviting Caitlyn Jenner now?
Yeah.
It seems that way, right?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. It really is.
Listen, I liked him as Bruce Jenner, and I talked to – I really feel like I'm talking to the same person. I mean, I know it's bizarre, but I liked him when he came out. He's like, I got my daughters, these Kardashians. You got to look – you know, we have this reality show, And he's like, my daughter Kim, you've never seen someone so ambitious and entrepreneurial. And I remember having countless conversations with him. I used to do all sports. And I was out in Los Angeles for a while. I ran into him all the time. And it's like talking to the same person. He was a conservative back then, and she's a conservative now. And why has he changed? She said, because, you know, conservatives don't hate gay people or transsexuals. It's do your own thing. But I'm not going to hold them up. You know, you don't hold them up as trophies. Look at me. I'm tolerant. And I think that Democrats like to do that and then like to vilify along the way.
I think what she said today, everybody should hear, because if you break it down to this issue of fairness, and thankfully we've seen, I think, a fair amount of people, not enough on the left, finally step up on this issue and say enough is enough. What I was going to say, though, is like I had people going back and forth on this issue on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and somebody, some lefty, chimed in and said, well, why do you care? And my response was, because I have a daughter and she doesn't have a penis. That's why I
Very interesting retort.
Because she is a swimmer now. She's an athlete. My wife was a, you know, collegiate soccer player. But that's why I care, because I want her to have the opportunities moving forward. Brian Kilmer. Thank you.
I thought that was a given.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll talk
soon. Go get him more.
All right. Take care. I think State Rep Mary Elizabeth Coleman is in Washington, D.C., not Jeff City. We're going to talk about some of the things happening in Jeff City. She's there for the March for Life. We'll talk about Governor Parson's State of the State address. My friend Dan O'Donnell, who's a talk show host in Milwaukee, actually wrote a really good column that was in the Federalist on a judge in Wisconsin banning ballot drop boxes, saying election officials broke the law there. We'll get Dan on here a little bit later as well. Brian Ping is with us. He's a St. Louis native and anchor at KNX in Los Angeles. And this terrible story of the murder of Breonna Kupfer. How are you, Brian? I mean, just a horrifying story when we found out more details, right?
Yeah, it really is. And unfortunately, this has been part of a trend. I don't want to say that a lot of what the other things that have been happening here reach just the, you know, frankly, insanity of this particular, you know, worst problem out here, no doubt about it.
So what, you know, the details, we don't know them all here in St. Louis as much as out there. I mean, there's been some national coverage here. The thing that really stuck out to me when I didn't know a lot about it is that this happened like in the middle of the afternoon, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Probably about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight. And she was in this store working, apparently by herself. She texts her friend when this man comes in, looks suspicious. And she texts her friend saying she's got a bad vibe about this guy. But apparently her friend doesn't receive the text in time. And the next thing you know, it's all over. You know, they discover her body at the scene. And you just apparently attacked with a knife. And it was done like that.
Just a horrifying scene. I mean, police come up. She's just covered in blood. It shows this suspect entering businesses in the hours leading up to the killing. So what we've seen, this guy has been in trouble with law enforcement a lot over the years, right? I mean, repeat offender doesn't even do it justice.
Well, yeah, and a case that came up just a couple of years ago in South Carolina, he was charged with firing a flare gun into a vehicle with a toddler inside. And he was released on bond after posting, you know, a percentage of his bond, but it had still not gone to trial, and they're saying it was because of a COVID backlog. So this was more than 2 years ago. It had taken that long for the justice system to process, you know, Mr. Laval Smith and to get him a trial. And in that time, he was able to make his way out to California. And I believe he was arrested in the times since. He has plenty of arrests, at least a dozen over the last decade, but able to commit more crimes leading up to the atrocity that just happened here.
So was he really, because he didn't look like someone, although you can't judge a book by its cover, was he really a homeless guy?
That's what they're saying. And then when they picked him up in Pasadena, that he was continuing to not look like he had any particular agenda or place to go, but it would fit a pattern because homelessness is a major problem out here. He would just be one of many, so it would fit the pattern.
Unbelievable. Hey, I was going to ask you, because there's a St. Louis connection here, I had John Schreiber on the show on Friday. He's the KTLA reporter that filmed all of those packages that were, I guess, stolen from some trains out there. Do you know him at all? Do you know John? Because he's a St. Louis guy.
Don't know him personally, but I did catch wind of that story. And, yeah, just see all the boxes strewn around there, and I'm thinking that's a pretty good opportunity for somebody who just, you know, wants to duck in there below street level, out of sight from everybody, and just pick things off. But, again, the street crime is rampant, and that's that almost sounds like one of the more innocuous things happening right now compared to some of these horrific crimes.
I think you're right about that, but that video is stunning. And if you even go right now to the front cover of the LA Times, because I think that John put that story on the radar, it went viral, and even the LA Times and some of the other media outlets out there said, wow, this is a pretty big story. And there's this picture of all this stuff that's littered across the train tracks. I said to him, and he described it the same way, it's almost like a scene that you'd see from here in the Midwest with one of the tornadoes. Just stuff everywhere, packages, yeah, all kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah, a picture of somebody's family. I guess nobody wanted that, so they discarded that. But it just goes to show that nothing is safe. And that's a major transit line, too, because you're going through, it's just past Union Station, Los Angeles, and it's a major rail route making its way to the rest of the country. And, of course, as you know from the stories about our backlogs at our port, so many goods move through there. You never know, something that is bound for your house, coming from across the ocean, might get intercepted by somebody here, and no one's there to stop them.
Hey, did you make it? Brian Ping from CanX in Los Angeles. Did you make it back for the holidays, I hope, or did you get stuck in LA?
I did.
Oh, good.
I made it there just before, I think, the temperatures dropped to, 10 degrees. Yeah. So,
well, they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad right now. But what's your COVID situation like right now in LA and in California?
Not good, but there are signs that we may be plateauing, leveling off. I get to speak from a personal standpoint that I know a lot of people just up and down my block that have gotten it. Nothing too serious. I know of a few people that have been hospitalized, but they've been pulling through. And, you know, pretty much most people I know are vaccinated, which, of course, helps. But the situation here, you're talking about sheer numbers, and it's so many people, and in many places in tightly packed spaces. So it's going to be bad, even though we've got the restrictions that we have. I mean, that's, you can't watch people 24/7. And a lot of the time they're in private situations. They're hanging out together. The mask might not be on. And so that allows for a lot of spread. But again, it looks like we are about to follow the trajectory of your place on the East Coast, where we are starting to see a notable drop. And I think the West Coast, the major West Coast cities like L.A., we usually come right on the heels of them. So I'm thinking, if you ask me again in about a week, Mark, it's going to look a lot more positive.
I think so, too. Yeah.
We got to ride this out. It's tough right now. The hospitals are hurting.
All right. One question that came up a couple of weeks ago. Is there any talk of moving the Super Bowl at this point?
No. We saw some sort of report that came out of Dallas, and I think somebody had snooped around a bit and just went around NFL protocol, probably do somebody inside the league, and said, yeah, well, this is just something we do. And it looks like the stadium in Arlington is kind of their fallback plan for a lot. I mean, they moved the Rose Bowl there a year ago. And, so the NFL was asked about it. And they said, yeah, well, you know, we have these plans in place for any sort of emergency. But there was never any serious plan to move the game. And, in fact, they held a news conference last week to mark 1 month before the event. And they reiterated, no, it's not leaving. It's going to be in Inglewood. I think by the time the Super Bowl rolls around, which is going to be in mid-February, this is going to be in the rear view for the most part.
But isn't it a confusing situation? Some of my friends out there have been tweeting. I mean, you have mask mandates in certain situations. The kids got to have masks in school. In that stadium at SoFi, do you have to wear masks or not?
Yeah. For indoor gatherings of more than, I think the number now is 1,000 people, you've got to wear a mask. And SoFi is an indoor stadium. It's a little fuzzy because it's not entirely indoor. I could get into the details, but I won't. But even for outdoor events, it's a pretty low cap. So you're supposed to wear a mask. But if you watch, the next time you see, if the Rams get a home game before the Super Bowl and you watch a game at SoFi, you're not going to see a lot of people wearing masks. They're not going to enforce that. The funny thing is that UCLA and USC basketball can't play in front of any fans, and they're mad about that because they point to the game Monday against Arizona.
Okay, that's one of the examples.
80,000 thing. Yes. Yeah. wait a minute. What's going on here?
I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the – I couldn't come up with that just on the fly, but that was one of the examples. It just seems so backwards. And by the way, you kind of scared me there because – I'm a Packers fan, dude, and there better damn well not be another game at SoFi before the Super Bowl, because that's not going to be good for the Packers, that's for sure.
Well, and the Rams probably shouldn't hope for that either, because that would be against the 49ers, and when they played them week 18, it was about a 50-50 crowd, so that would be very embarrassing
for
the Rams.
That was amazing how many 49ers fans you could hear and see in that stadium that night. And that I know it was discussed after the game, but that had to help them a little.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And, you know, Matthew Stafford's wife coming out and saying, this is unacceptable. I'm like, well, just wait till the Rams are bad. Then it's really going to be ugly.
Oh, we know that trajectory here in St. Louis. There's no doubt about that. All right, Brian Ping, great to hook up with you. Currently, you know, it's sad because I used to make it out there to L.A. several times a year, and the pandemic has just brought an end to all of that, unfortunately. But thanks for keeping in touch, and we'll talk soon.
We'll be here, Mark, and when you do, look me up, and it'll be great. We're here waiting for you whenever that time comes.
Take care. All right, Brian, take care. He's at KNX. He's a St. Louis native, one of our great West Coast correspondents, along with my friend John Ziegler, amongst a field of others. Mary Elizabeth Coleman's out at the March for Life, and she's going to join us after the top of the hour. Just a little update also on what's happening in Jefferson County. Was there anything significant in the governor's State of the State address? Milwaukee talk show host, my buddy Dan O'Donnell, on a very interesting election case up there that a judge ruled upon. Plus, we have an audio cut of the day still to come.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.